Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Ah, praise God. Hallelujah. The Lamb of God, part two. Let's pray. Lord God, give me the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart. Be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name, my Lord and my Redeemer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, when I first started the series, the Lord told me, the Lamb of God, it's going to be a three-parter. I go, wow, a three-parter? Whoa. I said, okay, a three-parter. So I'm doing the 7 o'clock, and now it's part two. Oh, praise God. All right, A, Jesus and the Lamb of God. In John 1:29, it said, as John the Baptizer was proclaiming the coming of the Messiah at the Jordan River, he saw Jesus and proclaimed, look, there is the Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world. In John 1:36, he says, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. Wow. You know, when John saw Jesus, he called him the Lamb of God. Why did he say that? Why did he say that? And I think it was because the Holy Spirit led him to say that. And there's another reason, maybe. I think his conversations with his mom, Elizabeth, she was a cousin of Mary, Jesus' mother. You know, he could have said, there goes Jesus. But you know, I think he realized, he knew that was his distant cousin. But because of Jesus' holiness, of his holiness and presence, he said, John the Baptizer said, there is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He knew. I think he knew. You see, Jesus is the precious Lamb of God. And he gave us his life that we may receive him. That he lives in us. So that we might be saved. He died on the cross for us. In Isaiah 53:6, it says, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He is opposed. He was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He brought us a lamb to the slaughter. And as a sheep before her shearer is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. You know, it was his humility, his righteousness that comes out, really comes out strong. And it shows us that the contrast to our sinful nature, a state of rebellion and iniquity. You see, in John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. His incredible love that he has. And he just doesn't have it for just me and you, you know. He loves everyone. Everyone he loves. In Romans 5:8, he says, but God cometh his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Yes, we were sinners, yet he still died for us. In Romans 3:25, in the Living Bible, it says, "For God sent Jesus Christ to take the punishment for our sins and to end all anger, all of God's anger against us. He used Christ's blood and our faith as the means of saving us from his wrath." His blood and faith has set us free. Hallelujah. An 18th century evangelist said that our conquering weapon is the blood of the Lamb. We are to view Jesus as the Lamb of God's Passover, as the Lamb slain. He himself saith, "I am he that liveth and was dead." Revelations 1:18. The death of Christ is the death of sin and a defeat of Satan. And by the blood of the Lamb, the words are expressly chosen, because under the figure of the Lamb, we have set before us a sacrifice. So first, we defeat Satan by our death, by his death. Then, through the sacrifice, his sacrifice, and that our Lord's death was effective for taking away the sin, as John the Baptist spoke, which takes away the sin of the world. And that's what it says. He takes away our sin. In 1 Peter 2:24, it says, "And his own self bare our sins in his own body on a tree, that we, being dead to sins, might live unto righteousness." In 1 Corinthians 5:7, it says, "You must remove the old yeast of sin so that you will be entirely pure. Then you will be like a new batch of dough without any yeast, as indeed I know you actually are. For our Passover festival is ready. Now that Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed." This is the Good News Bible. Wow. Jesus has done everything for us. We have been set free, and we need to decree it and to declare it. Amen. Be the blood of the Lamb. So we're going to go back in time. And some of you have already heard this, but I'm going to say it again. Let's go back in time and see how Jesus, the Lamb of God, when God chose Moses to lead the Hebrew slaves out of Egypt. Pharaoh's heart was so hardened by the 10th plague. The Lord had the angel of death kill all of Pharaoh's firstborn. Wow. Her Pharaoh's son, the ambassadors, all their sons, daughters, his slaves, even his animals, the firstborn. It was only then that Pharaoh let the Hebrews go. This is what God told Moses to say in order that the angel of death come. In Exodus 12:3, it says, Speak you unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, that they shall take with them to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, and a lamb for an house. For your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year, and you shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. Then that they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boil it with water, but roast it in the fire, its head and legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning, and what remains of it until morning, you shall burn it with fire. And thus you shall eat it with the belt on your waist, and your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, so that you shall eat it in haste. It is called the Lord's Passover. Now we celebrate the Lord's Passover. It is a celebration of what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross. It is God's command that we celebrate this every year. It is called Resurrection Day. Jesus dying on the cross was the culmination as a sacrificial lamb over 1,400 years later. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it says, "For he hath made who knew no sin, sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Hallelujah. Lambs have been dying as a substitute for sin for centuries. But just to prepare the way for the day when God would give his ultimate love for us through the Lamb of God, Christ Jesus. There's a testimony I'd like to give you. This is a guy of a conversation overheard in a dugout full of wounded men during the Second World War. And one of the men had been terribly wounded, and he knew he only had moments to live. He had a friend with him, one who had already seen bad start to a bad life. He had made wrong decisions. He had already served time in prison. In fact, he was wanted back home by the police again. The wounded man, the dying man, pulls the wanted man down close to his face, and he takes his dog tag, his ID chain, and presses it in the hand of his buddy. And he says, "Listen, Dominic," that was his name, "you led a bad life," he said. "Everywhere you wanted by the police, but there is no convictions against me. My name is clear, so here, take my dog tag, take my wallet, take my papers, my identity, my good name, and quickly hand me your papers that I may carry all your crimes away with me in death." Wow. That's pretty much what Jesus has done for us. He's done that for us. He's died for our sins so we wouldn't have to do it. In Revelation in the Lamb, see, you know, when I was doing my quiet time, I was asking the Lord and says, why is the Lamb mentioned in Revelation, the book of Revelation, 28 verses out of the 33 verses in the New Testament? Why is that? And I wanted you to notice that there is the number 33. How old was Jesus when he died? Wasn't he 33? Yes, and he's called the Lamb of God. I wonder. When the name of Jesus could have been mentioned, you know, could have been mentioned in several places, but it wasn't. He said the Lamb. And he told me that it was because Satan is being reminded it was the blood of the Lamb, his sacrificial death, that defeated him. The blood washes away us, from us, as far away as east is to west, in Psalm 103. You know, when I read this verse in 103, I guess I kind of knew what it meant, but I kept on visualizing. And if you visualize the temple, the plan of the temple is kind of a rectangle, okay? And one end is the east, and that's where the priest comes in. That's when the sun rises. And the priest comes in on the east side, and he brings the blood from the sacrificial area into the temple, and he goes all the way to the west end, which is the Holy of Holies, the mercy seat, and he pours the blood on the mercy seat. That's the most west side, so from east to west. I suppose it was orientated the other way, north and south. Well, the North Pole and the South Pole are fixed positions. They're actually fixed. You know that. It's anywhere from 3,000 to 4,000 miles. But when you go from east to west, it's a long continuum. It's infinity. And when I read that, I go, wow. Because it was explained to me at the temple when the priest comes in with the blood and he goes from east to west. In Revelation 5:11, it says, I beheld. And I heard the voice of many angels around about the throne. And the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all that in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, unto the Lamb forever and ever." You see, no one was worthy to open up the seals except the Lamb, Jesus Christ. Every voice in heaven was saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb." In Revelation 7:14, it says, "I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are which came out of the great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." See, our Jesus Christ has taken away our sin by his death and the shedding of blood. And now the saints have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In Revelation 7:17, it says, "For the Lamb which in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." And Revelation 12:11, hallelujah, "They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death." Now, here's some testimonies I want to give you, because it says they will defeat him. by the blood of the Lamb and their testimony. There was this young girl, she was about 5 years old, and she was being driven to church by a pastor's husband. And I guess his wife was the pastor. Everything was okay for a while, and then she noticed that after a while that he started making her the last stop. And then he drove her to the river, and then he molested her. She grew to hate God and everything about him. She got pregnant when she was 15. She had a baby at 16. She eventually married the father and moved to Alaska, and they had another child. The marriage failed and left alone. Then she decided with her mom to move to England. She got in with a bad crowd. Then she started with drugs and alcohol. Then she tried to commit suicide. She even tried to cut herself. Well, she realized that this is not a good place. So she decided to move to the U.S., her and her mom and the kids. So then she realized, after a while, when she got to the United States, that the people that she made arrangements weren't going to follow through. She was left alone with her kids, her mom, all these people kind of depending on her. Well, she met a policeman, and he told her where to go. She met this Christian couple who prayed for her, and they took care of her. They even took her to church. But she still hated God. She still hated God. They believed in her when she didn't. But you know what? Eventually, Jesus appeared to her, and the love that he showed her was overwhelming. Overwhelming. She accepted Jesus in her heart, and she was totally healed of her hatred for God. Totally healed. Her heart was healed. She learned to trust Jesus. She got married, and she had two more kids. Unfortunately, the marriage turned abusive, and then it ended. But you know what? She learned that Jesus loved her so much that he wasn't letting go. He had her in his hand. I can go on and on about her and all the things that she went through, but she always held on to Jesus. She learned that Jesus loves her and is taking care of her. Then there's Desmond. Desmond was a believer with his wife who came to California. They went to church, and somehow he got an interview with a pastor of this church, and the pastor also ministered to him. He said, to make long story short about what happened, is this: he and his wife came back the next day to church, where they both got healed and delivered from demons. He told how he was surrounded by men who actually loved him and cared about him. He described it as a multicolor group, white, black, everything, trying to set him free. And he loved them. In the process, Desmond got healed of an incurable kidney disease. How do you like that? He got healed of an incurable kidney disease. And he is praising God for the healing. He is so elated that he and his wife got set free and got healed. And he continues to praise God. Hallelujah. Then this lady She said when she was 5 years old, she was woken up by some loud noises. She can hear arguing, so she peeked in the door. She said that her father had a pistol pointed to her mom's head. Then he killed her mom. Then 2 days later, the officials said they had found her dad's body in the river. She, at a very young age, learned that to numb the pain, she had to use drugs and alcohol. She became pregnant at 15 years old. Her little girl was the only little joy that was in her life. But at 19 years old, she found the love of her life. Praise God. After that, they got married, and then he took her to church where she committed to Jesus. Hallelujah. Everything was good. She did everything to help the marriage. Did everything. Then it happened. After 13 years of marriage, he said he wanted out. She was devastated. She felt as though she was dying of a broken heart. She says all the emotions she felt as a kid, her mother that she loved so much, the father that she had idolized, she was daddy's little girl. It all came crashing back. Eventually she tried to commit suicide, but the Lord saved her. But after 3 years, she now realizes what she has in Jesus. Amen. She quoted Revelation 12:11, and then she says, I am an overcomer. Yes, I believe that. She is. She's an overcomer. Praise God. And those are only some of the testimonies. There's many. You see, they overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. In Revelation 15:3, it says, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are the works, God Almighty, just and true are the ways, thou King of saints. Yeah, they praised God. They praised him and praised him and praised him. Hallelujah. In Revelation 7:14, these shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and they are with him and are called and chosen and faithful. Yeah, those aligned with the beast, with the evil one, shall wage war with the Lamb, and he shall overcome them. Amen. In 19:7, it says, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. In Revelation 19:9, it says, and he saith unto me, write, blessed which they are called unto the marriage of the supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true sayings of God. You see, John is now told to write the true sayings of God. In Revelation 21:14, it says, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. John is describing the 12 foundations. In them are the names of the apostles. Revelation 21:22. Then I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Where is the temple? Jesus is the temple. Amen. In 21:7 and 27, it says, and there shall in no wise enter into it. Anything that defileth neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. See, no one has evil enters that city. City of New Jerusalem. And they are written in the Lamb's book of life, unless they are written in the Lamb's book of life. In 22:1 it says, and he showed me a pure river of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In 3 it said, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Amen. Why do the servants serve him? Because they love him, and because he is the Lamb of God. Amen? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.